Ambassador Moynihan said he is not arguing for a Moynihan policy, but that he is merely carrying out State Department directives that he feels are not fully supported within the department itself. In his lengthy cablegram, the ambassador says he is succeeding in breaking up the anti-American voting bloc in the UN, but he says the conventional wisdom at State, which predicted his tactics would fail, is now determined to prove them a failure. Moynihan characterized his cablegram to Kissinger as a routine report, but it may be seen by some at the State Department as a Moynihan attempt to force a confrontation over his tactics in dealing with nations who vote against the United States in the UN. Secretary of State Kissinger said he has no comment on the Moynihan report. Jim McManus, CBS News, the White House.
More news after this.
Now, from Business Week, here is Peter Roberts with your summary of this week's top business stories.
President Ford plans on winning the election with a budget based on three assumptions: political, economic, and social. And the fight for election could actually affect the nation's economic recovery. Everyone knows what the women's lib movement has done in cities such as New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. But women executives are making big gains in the smaller cities, too. Do you think of business schools as ivory towers? Think again. Because in some schools, students are playing the stock market and managing portfolios. And in your personal business, as income tax time draws near, it's also a golden opportunity for you to catch up on your estate planning with little or no extra effort.
If you want complete details on these business stories, you can get the facts in this week's issue of Business Week. It's on newsstands now. Pick up your copy today. Business Week. When it comes to news, it's all business.
There were critical suggestions from the White House Tuesday that Congress's latest maneuver to tie the president's hands in Angola could undermine America's credibility among her allies. By a vote of 323-99, the House brushed aside the last-minute plea of President Ford and voted to cut off aid to anti-Soviet forces in Angola. The Senate did much the same last month. One of those House members voting yea, Joseph Addabbo of New York, explained his vote.
I think it's a step that the Congress finally is exerting itself, that it does not want to be dealt around, it has to be dealt with. That you cannot involve a nation in international conflict without the full consent and the knowledge of Congress. And I think it's more on the basis of a question of the secrecy question than anything else.
One of Addabbo's Democratic colleagues, George Mahon of Texas, sided with the president.
I hope that friend and foe alike will believe, even though the vote went adverse today, we'll believe that we still maintain our resolve to take whatever actions are necessary in international matters to preserve the security of the United States.
Mahon is chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. At a state dinner for the Prime Minister of Israel Tuesday night, President Ford reaffirmed America's commitment both to Israel's existence and to an era of peace in the Middle East. But earlier, at ceremonies welcoming Yitzhak Rabin, Mr. Ford appealed for more flexibility by Israel in mollifying its Arab neighbors. More news after this.
I don't believe it. Tell me again.
Okay. The Internal Revenue Service has over 80 free publications to help answer all those taxing questions you have on your mind.
Uh-huh. What if I'm a flagpole sitter whose pole was attacked by termites?
All right. Flagpole, termites. It's publications 547 and 584.
An ant left me an elephant under 12 years of age for me to care for.
Mm-hmm. Adolescent elephant, 501.
People throw money when my 98-year-old uncle lifts weights at the beach. Is that income?
Mm-hmm. 554 and 525.
Oh. Does the IRS have an answer for everything?
Well, just about. There are over 80 free publications for the asking at any IRS district office. You can write for them by using the order blank on your 1040 tax package. Yep, over 80 tax-answering publications. Free from the IRS.
The Prime Minister of Spain, Carlos Arias Navarro, will announce Wednesday a program liberalizing Spain's election laws. Among the expected post-Franco reforms, the legalization of outlawed opposition parties, which would allow them to run slates in next year's parliamentary elections. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. Weather outlook for the KIXI listening area calls for a little light rain likely tonight, rain increasing tomorrow, becoming heavy at times, decreasing showers tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs in the low 50s and lows in the mid-40s. Currently in downtown Seattle, it's 50 degrees. And taking a look at sports in the National Basketball Association, Buffalo beat New Orleans 129-105. It was Atlanta over the New York Knicks 114-113. Cleveland dumped Detroit 85-83. Houston 127, Philadelphia 116. Chicago beat Golden State 110-103. And it was Kansas City 107, Milwaukee 89. In college basketball, Rutgers beat Pittsburgh and Princeton over Penn. CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next at 7 past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Marshall. Of all the tales I tell, the ones that crawl most across the skin and creep along the spine are those that bring the wronged out of the grave to seek redress from the living. And of all of those, this one, to me, is one of the very most haunting and chilling.
I took the bearings all them years ago when it first was appearing. From Gladscar to Mardyke's jetty and from under the old Georgian dragon sign here to the White House below Forrick Falls. I could fix a marker boy over the very spot.
Maybe it was a marker boy you saw, Captain Jack.
It was no marker. It was a woman. And I say it's Libby Filtrum. Back to collect her due for her. Child. Murder will out.
Our mystery drama, The Smile of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
For a lot of people, a full-size car is a downright necessity. Buick understands that, which is why they build Le Sabre, a car with lots of standard comfort and convenience, a big trunk, and honest-to-goodness elbow room for six. Buick Le Sabre, free spirit in the family size.
You care enough to only want the king of beers. When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals his word. The book of Job says this about dreams. God speaks first in one way and then in another, but no one notices. He speaks in dreams and visions that come in the night. When slumber comes on mankind and all men are asleep in bed, then it is he whispers in the ear of man, or may frighten him with fearful sights and turn him away from evil doing to save his soul from the pit. So listen to your dreams. They could guide you to new and positive directions. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
The pretty little town of Golden Friars stands by the margin of a sizable lake, hemmed around by an amphitheater of purple mountains, a place where legends are born and persist. And those most responsible for keeping them alive are inside the warmth of the George and Dragon pub.
Jim, that's a wet night.
Seems like both natural and unnatural things are having a bit to say about Sir Bale's return to Mardyke's Hall, Dr. Torby. What with the thunderstorm coming on the hills of your mentioning that the Baronet was coming home, and her being seen again.
Her?
The woman in the lake.
Oh, Libby Feltram?
Elizabeth Feltram that was. Before Sir Bale deserted her and her children to marry the Baroness with all the money.
A ghost. Her he murdered 15 years ago.
Oh, come now, Jack. Murdered, the girl disappeared, that's all.
Carrying one child and abandoning the other.
She were holding out a baby in her arms when we came near her. Before she disappeared.
The ghost woman.
But was she Libby Feltram?
She had a scarf all veil-like bound around about her face. And a great cloak with a big hood like them monks will be wearing. And her face all in shadow.
When was it you saw this sight?
Yesterday, off the point of Snake's Island. The exact same spot she showed up to begin with all them years ago. Oh, it's Libby Feltram all right back to collect her due. For her and her unborn child. Murder, Will, out.
I tell you, there was no murder.
Why should she run away? Why should she leave him to another woman?
But, my dear Trumbull, don't you see that's just the point? Oh, I'm not defending Bale's conduct or his morals. But the fact is that he and Elizabeth were never married. She had no claim on him legally, or her children.
Still and all, Doctor, she might have made quite a bit of trouble with the Baroness if she'd still been about. She only disappeared 2 days before the Baroness came down for the wedding.
And showed up in the lake every day from then until they went to Europe. Stark and straight out of the water. Hip high. The way no human being could support itself.
Oh, Captain, it's an illusion or some trick of the mists against the background of Snake Island.
Sir Bale will be all by himself coming home.
Oh, yes. The Baroness died a few months ago, pneumonia.
I wasn't thinking of her. I was thinking of the boy.
Oh, Philip. Oh, well, that I don't know. We shall have to be patient till the end of the week when the Baroness arrives.
Oh, dear me, that'll be the mail coach stopping. Perhaps Sir Bale decided to hurry up his return.
My opinion. He's been summoned.
From what I can see through the rain, it's not Sir Bale. No, this looks to be a younger man and tall. Well, we'll soon see. He's on his way in with the landlord.
I could whisk you up some supper, sir. Cheese and some steak and kidney pie, if you'd like.
No, thank you. All I require is a little information and a smaller noggin of brandy.
Be right back with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, draw close to the fire, sir. We have a cold, unpleasant night, eh?
I thank you, sir.
You, You're a stranger in these parts?
I could say so, yes.
You surprised us after a fashion because we were in expectation possibly of someone else.
Our local baronet, Sir Bale Mardyke. Now, here's your brandy, sir.
Thank you, mine host.
Yes, Mardyke's hold is a very pretty object from the lake, sir, and very much admired about here.
As is the house off the Fedrum. At the head of the glen, for all it's wrecked and in ruin now, close to the house that was on top of its side of lake.
Exactly opposite.
Feltram. Well, that was one of our great families down here. Fish dwindled to nothing now.
A pox on both their houses. Nothing but trouble. The woman who rises out of the water of Snake Island has foretold.
Pay no attention to him.
I'm afraid I have no time. This should be enough to pay for my brandy. And now, my noggin of information. Is Mrs. Juniper well and in good health and still under the roof of Mardyke's Hall?
Oh, yes, indeed she is. I saw her early this day, bustling about, getting all in readiness for Sir Bale's return.
Only Sir Bale?
Well, yes, as far as I know.
Perhaps it is as well that I preceded him. You will excuse me?
A moment, sir, if you will. This room is not well lighted, and I'm no longer as young as I was. Should I not recognize you?
Not really. I am quite different from the babe you brought into the world, Dr. Torvey.
Good heavens.
As you must know already, I am Philip Feltram. And now, if you will excuse me, I must go prepare for the return of my master.
Now, who can that be? Oh, all right, Mother Juniper. Don't stop to speculate. Just stir your old legs and open the door. Yes, sir, can I help you?
I know I've changed, Mopsy, but that much?
Master Philip! Oh, sure, I'd never have recognized you in a thousand years. Oh, my dear boy, come in, come.
Well, aren't you going to give me a hug?
Oh, you're a little big for that now, but all I have to do is to be asked. Oh, my precious little Philip.
Oh, Mopsy.
Oh, how you've grown. 10 years it must be since I packed your little carpet bag and saw you off by coach for the continent the day the master took you away from me.
The master?
Sir Bale. Oh, is he with you now?
No, he won't be down till the weekend. Then
we'll... Oh, then we'll have a little time together. Nothing's changed, is it, in all these years?
If you mean Sir Bale, I'm afraid not.
And the Baroness is dead?
All her money gone with her. It'll be a hard row to eke out all our livings here at Mardyke's Hall. He'd never be back here if he weren't desperate.
I said nothing was changed. But it isn't true. You are Philip. Oh, my little Philip. Where is all the joy you had of life? The laughter you found in everything?
Where is Papa Juniper?
Oh, John. He died 2 years ago.
Oh.
A quiet, happy death.
Don't you miss him?
Oh, every moment of every day. But we had 40 years together. A lot of memories for an old lady to live out life on. I still have the same joy for life. The love I tried to give you when I brought you up. When we did, John and me. Before your father took you away from us to Germany. Didn't you find any happiness there, Philip, boy?
Judge for yourself. I was not welcomed by my mother-in-law. Perhaps I rested too hard on my father's conscience. No. No happiness, Mopsy.
Thank you.
there a moment, driver. I'll raise the house and you can use some help with the luggage.
Ah, where in the name of the devil is anyone?
Sir Vale!
Mrs. Juniper, glad to see you're still alive. Where is my natural offspring? To speak of him as kindly as possible, why isn't he here and ready to greet me?
Oh, we didn't expect you tonight. Sir Philip.
Sir Philip?
Well, I meant Philip. He took the trap over Clouston way to bring my niece back. If you're to be making your home here, I thought we'd need a little extra help.
Who asked you to make arrangements I didn't order?
Well, in your letter, you said to make all ready to open the hall.
I didn't ask you or Philip to make any plans for me beyond those I issue myself.
Well, I'm afraid it's my fault.
No, 'tis Philip's. I thought by now I'd taught him to have no mind of his own.
Not for want of trying, but you won't succeed.
What does that mean?
Come here with me. Across the drive and out to the edge of the terrace. There. Look out across the lake towards Snake's Island.
I abhor that lake. Water of any kind. I won't. I can't.
You must, Sir Bale.
Must? How dare you?
Because I'm old in your service and not long for this world. She's still waiting for you.
Who?
Philip's mother. There. See her in the moonlight before Snake's Island. Standing above the water, reaching to you for all the things she never had from you.
Libby.
Yes, Libby. Elizabeth Feltram. Who do you think it was brought you back here at last?
What is that luminous shape that drifts in the eddying mist, reflecting the soft, deceiving light of the moon? Is it the apparition that gossip believes rises from the lake, crying out for justice? Or is it some trick of refracted light, like the Loch Ness Monster could be, or the spinning disc of a UFO? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
There's no place like Singer.
It's the savings of 76, and only Singer gives you the fabulous Futura 2 sewing machine with 16 exclusives, including Flip and Sew, the two-way sewing service for free arm sewing of cuffs, pant legs, sleeves. And it has our magic button holder, the Futura 2. Now $96 off regular price and cabinet. The savings of 76.
There's no place like Singer.
Share a ride with a friend. Share a smile when you're round the bend. Let somebody brighten up your day.
Fred and I started riding together to save money, but that's not why we're still doing it. Nope, we just like sharing the ride and the time with a friend.
Double up every morning. Double up going home at night. Double up every day. It's a better way. You're gonna have more fun together.
Beats driving alone.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
If I could leave one thing with you when I'd leave this earth behind, I'd like to leave a brightened sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd bequeath a life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy. This is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Long moment, a glowering Sir Bale Mardykes gazes across the lake, Then suddenly a cloud passes across the moon, and the shimmering expanse of water darkens and disappears, and with it the specter, apparition, or illusion that seemed to hover over it. As though released from a spell, the baronet turns on his heel, heading back towards the house, the old woman hard put to it to keep up with his rapid pace.
All right, driver. You may take all my luggage and pile it inside in the hall. When my servant returns, I'll have him put it away where it belongs. Here, take this for your service. Mrs. Juniper, I shall be in the study before a fire to banish this chill from my bones. Is there brandy there?
Yes, sir. Would you care for a bite to eat?
No, I want to be alone till Philip returns. But I want to see him the moment he does. The moment, do you hear?
Coming on to twilight, Mr. Feltram. Maybe we'd better hurry.
Not for me. I'm in no hurry to face my employer, if he's arrived yet.
Now, that's a strange thing to say. Your employer?
Isn't that what he is?
Well, I don't mean to say anything out of turn, but Mrs. Juniper's my aunt. And I know she brought you up from the time you were 4 till you were 12.
Yes. Mopsy's the only real parent I ever had.
I'm a bit confused. I mean, I know your own mother disappeared, like, but you've been with your own father since you were 12 in Europe.
My father, yes. In a manner of speaking, it isn't quite the same when you've been born, as the phrase goes, on the wrong side of the blanket.
Well, I realize a stepmother isn't quite the same as a real one.
Oh, I had a few quarrels with my stepmother. She was a cold, remote, unhappy woman. But the man from whose seed I came is something else again.
I wish you weren't so bitter.
I'm not bitter, Jenny. Just beaten, cowed, and whipped, and as much a slave as if I were clothed in iron.
Mr. Philip.
Please, just Philip.
All right, then, Philip, if you wish. Oh, but you mustn't give up on life, not at our age. Oh, there's too much of it left to live, where anything's possible.
Yes, you haven't met Sir Bale yet. And maybe I had better make a little better time. Bessie!
Lord of mercy, I thought you'd never get here. What were you up to?
Nothing, Aunt Margaret.
Well, sure, I wouldn't blame you, the two of you so bright and young, if you had dawdled a bit on the way.
That was my fault, Mopsy.
Well, glad I am to hear it. Shows you have some spirit left in you, for you'll need it. Oh, he's in a black mood, the master is, and waiting for you in the study.
I'll go see him right away.
I think it's terrible. I mean, how can his father treat him the way he does?
How indeed? All for the want of a little scrap of paper. For he's his son. You've only to look at the eyes to see that. But because he has no legal standing, the father has broken him, twisted all the joy and life out of him. You mock my words, Jenny. He'll pay for that before he dies.
Where the devil have you been, Feltram?
I went to fetch Mop, Mrs. Juniper's niece, from around the end of the lake.
No need of that. If she wanted the work so badly, she could have walked here.
Oh, it's 20 miles or more.
Thunderation, you weren't all the way around to the old Closted house, poking around.
No, why would I have gone there?
No matter. You were gone long enough, most of the day.
Sir, I didn't want to push the mare, and it was so pretty by the lake.
Pretty? By God. Damn, if I had my way, I'd drain the miserable thing. It's little better than a cesspool.
I had no wish to anger you.
I needed you, and where were you?
Needed me?
Yes. We've come back to a shambles and a trap. The books a hopeless mess, rents unpaid or uncollected, debts, and scarce enough money to keep the roof over our own heads, let alone Mrs. Juniper's.
Jenny had come to help her aunt. She asks little in return.
Even that little, I doubt if we can provide.
If there's some way I could help them...
I want the papers in order. I want to know who owes what. I'll dun them or take everything away from them that they possess. One way or another, we must have money.
We must find a way to get it no matter what it costs.
If you'll excuse me, Sir Bale, I did arrange to have funds set aside, but you used them to bet on the horses.
You puling little mistake of my youth. Don't presume to criticize me.
Well, I wasn't criticizing. I was only trying to explain.
The devil with your explanations. I need money. Now get out and ride the Barency. Bleed it out of the tenants who've been living off my absence for all these years.
But they have paid faithfully, sir.
Then find a way to make them pay some more. Unless you want all of us to starve to death.
Why do you take it, Philip? You don't have to be beholden to him. He isn't to you.
Oh, it doesn't matter anymore. What does is that I'm back here. Home.
You think of this as home?
Well, not the house, the surroundings, the... what lies outside and calls me all the time, telling me my strength and hope is there.
Oh, I think you should get away from here, Philip.
Would you go with me?
Yes.
Jenny, where would I go? Where could I take you?
It wouldn't matter.
No. No, there's got to be a better answer than that. I must have something to offer you.
Didn't you say less than 3 days ago that you wished you had £100?
A wish, yes.
Which you translated into reality.
Beg pardon?
No, don't play with me. I have here in my desk a £100 note. Now, where's it gone?
You think I took it?
Where else could it go?
And why would I take it? To fly forever from your bondage? To escape your vicious tongue, your constant derogation, your resentment of me because of the past I remind you of?
By dead, sir. I will not listen to some young puppy talk to me.
You need not listen, sir. For this young puppy is unfortunately grown to an age of decision. I want no more of your barbarity, your hate, your venom. I'm old enough to choose my own path.
Financed by the money you stole.
I didn't touch it. Believe it if you will, I am leaving.
And where are you going?
Back to my heritage. Back to the lake. And across it to where my family's home still stands. Back to test the legend you fear. That at last the Mardyke's baronetcy and estates will pass to the Feltrams. That is destiny's decision.
You can't go out on a night like this.
Why not? It was a night like this that bid me home.
Yes? What is it?
It be Captain Jack, Mrs. Juniper. And a sad occasion.
What is it? What the devil are we being roused from bed for?
A corpse, Sir Bale. Drowned under circumstances all the years on the water cannot credit. And brought home to you.
Who is it?
Your son, Philip Fincham. Give me leave to have my men bring his body in. To me and offered me £5 to have me and my men row him across the lake immediately and to pass by the north end of Snakes Island.
£5, eh?
Lot of money, I knows. But it was a rough night and I had to pay extra for oars. We were nigh on to Snake Island when a squall hit it suddenly and we broached to, fighting the riptide. Well, that was when we lost him.
He fell overboard.
Oh, no, Sir Bales, it weren't exactly like that. There was lightning, as you know, and coming around the point of the island, all of a sudden, like, there was what you might call a illusion.
What kind of an illusion? The figure of a woman above the waterline?
Oh, no, not that one, sir. This was an hand. A woman's hand. That reached up from the water and that Mr. Philip bent over to grasp. And before we knew it, he was overboard and underwater and lost.
But you brought him back again.
Yes, sir. We eased up on our oars All of a sudden, his body was floating, calm and peaceful-like. We hauled him aboard. Not a thing we could do. Empty his lungs of water. Try the artificial respiration. Nothing. Nothing would bring him to. So we brung him home here.
There's no question at all, Sir Bale. You did everything you could and more. And I'm sure Captain Jack and his men did. Terrible thing.
You're quite sure Philip is... well, that he's drowned?
No pulse, no respiration. Cold as a lead image in the garden. Oh, no. Philip is dead.
Damned irritating little fool. How am I to make do without him?
It's a great loss, one's only son.
Ah, you think I care for that? He was a weakling and a burden. But I had uses for him as a servant. Worst of all, he's stolen £100 from me and left me without a penny.
As to that, Sir Bale, you'll have reason to be ashamed. Here's your £100 note.
What?
I found it among some papers in the waste paper basket that you asked me to empty. So you drove him from the house for nothing to his death.
Well, how was I to know? By gad, Dr. Torby, can't something be done about that corpse? He's grinning at me as if he'd pulled off some trick or something.
Rhesus sardonicus. The smile of death, Sir Bale. Rigor mortis is setting in.
Jenny Lamb.
I waited to have a last look. Because I loved him so. There he was, rising from the bed.
What the devil's all the racket and excitement?
You may well raise his name. For look.
His ghost.
Don't be alarmed. I am no ghost. I'm alive and well. In fact, I have never been in more complete control of my faculties in all my life.
Who and what is he, this Philip Feltram, who was drowned and pronounced dead medically? Man or ghost? And almost as amazing and inexplicable is the change in his character, the ring of authority and strength in his tone that all three who face him at that midnight hour react to. I'll return shortly with Act Three.
You've worked hard to get where you are, and now would be a very good time to give yourself a little pat on the back in the form of Buick Electra, a car filled with room, luxury, comfort, the perfect place for you and your free spirit to get together. Buick Electra. Think of it as recognition for a job well done.
Things like a taste, smoothness, and a drinkability you'll find in no other beer at any price. A taste, a smoothness, and a drinkability that say, this beer, Budweiser, is the king of beers.
When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Hello there. This is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name. Project Research. Now, in addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. Won't you join me and throw your knockout punch? You'll be getting on a winning team. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Once again, this is Tony Marvin saying thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
Whatever metamorphosis Philip Feltram had gone through, he is a very different individual from the meek, subservient excuse for a man that he had been. Sir Bale, unable to adjust to their new relationship, was hesitant and defeated. He was no longer the master from the very first morning after Philip's renaissance, for more reasons than one.
What's that, Feltram?
The beginning of the restoration of the Mardyke's fortune, I hope.
It's a leather purse with money in it.
Gold. Guineas. A small fortune.
No need to count them. There are 300. A drop in the bucket, but a beginning.
What do you mean, a beginning?
Properly used, they can multiply.
How?
B-swing, falcon, and lightning.
What?
The names mean nothing to you?
No, I... Oh, stop a bit. They're horses. In the weekend races. Two of them anyway, right?
Correct.
All of them. Well, what of it? You're not suggesting that any of this money should be bet on them.
I am.
But they're all so rans, they haven't a chance of winning.
Would you like this purse of gold?
Well, naturally. Where did it come from, anyway?
From a gypsy. Lent to me... to lend to you under certain stringencies.
What?
That you use it to advance your fortunes, but that you must bet at least 5 guineas each on the horses I named.
And the rest?
You may use as you choose, always remembering that the debt must be repaid.
When?
When the gypsy chooses to call for it.
Who is this gypsy? What's his name?
I cannot reveal that.
Well, I don't know that I want to be involved in something so secretive.
What choice do you have, or do you wish me to return the purse?
Damn you. No. If it amuses you, keep your secret. I shall go to the Heckleston Racecourse and live up to the letter of the bargain. But let me reassure you and your mysterious gypsy, Sir Bale Mardykes is still his own man.
Welcome home, Sir Bale. Good day at the races?
Do you ask me that only to vex me?
Why, no. I'd heard your horses won.
Damn your hide. You heard that, did you?
Yes, and at 40-1 on Bee's Wing, 60-1 on Lightning, and 50-1 on Falcon. Now, let me see. At 100 guineas apiece, that should make...
I didn't bet that way. I bet the favorites.
Oh, that wasn't the agreement.
I lived up to the agreement. Rot your soul. I put 5 guineas apiece on the horses and came away from that with a take of 775 guineas.
But you might have made some 15,050 pounds if you'd followed the handicapping.
I want to meet this gypsy with the second sight.
That can be arranged. Come with me now and we'll sail across the lake to the other side where you can meet your benefactor.
No, no man nor any other force will put me on that lake. But you can help me, my boy.
How?
Find me one of your magic winners through this gypsy for next weekend's races, and I'll plunge all this time.
I'll let you know tomorrow. I have your answer, Sir Bale.
Yes?
I took your money to my principal, who was angry and displeased that you did not come yourself. However, I have a name for you to put your remaining winnings on. Another bonanza at long odds. The winner at Langton Lee will be Silver Bell.
May you be banished to eternal hell. I believe this is all a scheme of yours to ruin me, Feltram.
Why? What happened?
I was fool enough to take the other money I'd won, mortgage what I could of the estate, and put it all together to win a paltry 7,000 with 20,000 bet.
How could you risk everything on a mere word from me?
Silver Bell was the favorite. There was no chance for him to lose, except ill luck at the far turn that set his hoof in a pothole and tore his fetlock. I'm ruined. All this is gone. Estate, house, everything I own.
You could recover it if you so desired. Cross the lake with me, and the baronetcy can still be saved.
To meet this gypsy of yours?
Yes.
What chance have I left? Very well. Let's go. Must we set a course so near that accursed Snake's Island?
What have you to fear?
Nothing.
But don't tell me you expect to see the famous specter rise from the sea.
I tell you nothing. Get us ashore to meet this mysterious gypsy who holds my life in his hands.
A new experience for you.
Ah, you seem to be enjoying this.
Part payment for all you've put me through, perhaps.
Where are you taking me, Philip?
Philip? Doesn't that name sound strange on your lips after all these years? Have no fear. I'm leading you to one who will restore your fortunes.
I think I want to turn back.
You can't. The course is set. The die is cast. This old oak is as far as I go.
You're not going to lead me?
The path is marked. Between the ash trees to the cliffside. From there to the mulberry bush that marks the entrance to the cave.
And there?
Your future and your past.
I don't understand you. All your life a weakling and a burden, and now all of a sudden all this strength. Ever since your accident, how?
You remember the fable of Actaeon in Greek mythology?
Who drew his strength from the ground and lost it when lifted above it?
Exactly. I was drawn into the water, but rose refreshed and invigorated as if newborn. Go seek the one you must find, and you will know why at last.
Well, I don't know if I have the courage.
You've gone too far to turn back. You can never turn back anymore. You will find the one you seek in the Darkling Cave.
Hello? Hello?
So, you came back to me, Bale.
You can it be you, Libby?
Does my appearance shock you? The eroded flesh, barnacles that cling in my hair, the whitening bone.
Oh, Lord. What can I say?
Nothing. That isn't why I bade you here.
There's no excuse for me, I know, but who is I? I was young. I was foolish and desperate. The Baroness meant money and a future and escape.
Escape from me and the two children you tore from my body.
I took care of Philip.
Oh, yes, after your fashion. The one that was never born was less than murder.
I was desperate then.
How desperate are you now?
Well, it's another situation.
But you are desperate. You stand on the brink of ruin.
Yes.
Then, will you strike a bargain with me?
What?
Who do you think sent you the purse with the 300 guineas? What told you the horse that would win?
You stared me wrong on the most important one.
Of course. Because I had to teach you a lesson and bring you here at last so we could make a bargain with life.
Oh, this is madness. You are long dead and gone. What are we discussing?
Your future and Philip's and mine.
I don't understand.
I'll explain it for you. I will give you money again. And I will name you horses which will make you a rich man. And the house of Mardyke secure. On one condition. That you give me what you should have nearly 25 years ago. Your name.
What? How can I marry you? You're 25 years dead.
Philip has made all arrangements with the vicar. If you meet me at the altar of Golden Friars Church tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, the wedding will be performed.
But why? Why now? It's impossible.
My dowry will be a purse of gold of 10,000 pounds. And the name of a horse which will ensure Mardykes and its heirs for all time. Do we meet?
I will be there. Whatever else betides, I will be there.
Dearly beloved, we are met here in the sight of God to join this man and this woman in
Captain Drake, the woman from the lake, Mr. Trumbull. What are you talking about, man? That's only an apparition, a ghost, a dead woman.
So was Philip, her son, but he rose from the watery grave.
Don't talk of such things in the church. It's Libby Feltram, all right, come back. But she's alive. She spent last night at my inn.
Why? You saw her face?
No. She was veiled, just as she is now at the altar.
Do you, Elizabeth Stanford Feltram, take this man, Sir Bale Mardyke, to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
And do you, Sir Bale Mardyke, take this woman, Elizabeth, to be your lawful wedded wife?
I do.
Then, by the virtue of the power rested in me as a vicar of God, I do now pronounce you man and wife.
Here, Jenny girl, what are you crying for?
It was so beautiful, Auntie. Her coming back after all these years and finally taking her rightful place as Lady Mardykes.
I wish my mind rested as easy as yours.
And Philip, his rightful name at last and the stain taken away. Philip Mardykes. Oh, where will the bride and groom sleep this night?
Marlingham. Nothing would do, but Sir Bale must off to the races his wedding night. Oh, no good to a marriage which starts with gambling. Oh, it was doomed anyway, out of the past. You mark my words, Jenny. There is worse to come.
Don't pop your eyes at me, my girl. I'm alone, as you can see.
But the Lady Mardykes...
Lady Mardykes will not be coming here. Get Philip and have him bring the rest of these heavy bags to my room. Come.
Where do you want these, Father?
Put them on the bed with the others. I shall have little enough use for it again. I'll get the door.
Oh, they are heavy enough.
She gave me 3 horses to parley at unbelievable odds. And 10,000 pounds to wager. There's over $1,000,000 on the bed. More than enough to pay all the debts, set the estate to right, and bury me.
Bury you?
You heard me. I must join my wife. But her home must be mine. This one will be yours. You realize that?
I'm sorry, Father.
So am I. For many things. Marry your little Jenny, so there will be a Lady Mardykes to light up this gloomy old place and banish the shadows forever. Leave me alone now. As soon as it's dark, I shall go to her. I shall never return.
Father,
Forget it, Philip Mardykes. Soon to be sir. It's too late for me. And I go to know better than I deserve.
It was 3 days before they found Sir Bale Mardykes floating face downward just off the point of Snake's Island. And when they brought him to shore, the exposure to the air set the corpse's face in that haunting grin of death, the rhesus sardonicus. Even the undertaker, with all his art, was unable to wipe it away. I'll be back shortly.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact, the sooner the better.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contac. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contac. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold a Contac. All day, all night. Full-time. Use only as directed.
Sir Bale Mardykes rests now in the family crypt, but not alone. For the night following the discovery of his body in the lake, Captain Jack brought up the body of a woman in the same spot. A scarf was wound about her face. But when Philip gently unwound it, there was the face of his mother, Libby, lovely and youthful as it was 15 years ago. She lies in the vault, too, beside the man who at last gave her and her son what he had denied them so long, his name. Our cast included Russell Horton, Cort Benson, Ian Martin, Joan Shea, and Evie Juster. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I was sitting in Claire's house, waiting for Claire's mother to serve me oatmeal cookies. And all I could think of was the three-panel, gold-frame mirror that I had given Claire when we were schoolgirls.
I have to give them another minute to cool. They're still sticking to the pan. Let's have a cup of tea, and then they'll be ready. You pour, will you?
If you want me to.
Just lemon for me.
All right.
Oh, thank you.
Mrs. Connor, about that mirror of Claire's...
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Why do you keep talking about that mirror?
Did you burn yourself?
You keep going on and on about that mirror.
No, Mrs. Connor...
I told you to forget about it.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That mirror. That cursed mirror. That mirror killed my precious Claire.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, calling for little light rain likely tonight. Rain increasing, tomorrow becoming heavy at times. Decreasing showers tomorrow night and Thursday. The highs in the low 50s, lows in the mid 40s, and currently in downtown Seattle, it's 49 degrees. And taking a look at the levy elections in King County, High Line, Proposition number 1 lost with 44% of the vote. Proposition 2 also lost with 37.4%. In Shoreline, Proposition 1 passed with 61.8%. 2 and 3 lost.
It's the sound of bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The Patricia Hearst trial enters its second day on Wednesday. The judge says he expects to seat a jury before the end of the day. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Ms. Hearst is standing trial on federal bank robbery charges. Some are calling it the trial of the century. On opening day Tuesday, Judge Oliver Carter dismissed 40 prospective jurors. 36 of them pleaded hardships at home. 4 admitted prejudice or inability to judge Ms. Hearst impartially. There are 74 prospective jurors left. As the proceedings got underway, Judge Carter described the trial as the most covered case in this country. He said the jury can expect to be sequestered for at least 4 or 5 weeks. That trial going on in San Francisco. President Ford Tuesday night pledged the United States remains committed to the security of Israel. The president also expressed admiration for what he called the unbreakable spirit of independence of the Israelis. The president was hosting an official state dinner for visiting Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. More news in a moment.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your code to contact, the sooner the better.
The most successful selling cold medicine in the world is a little capsule. It's Contact. It contains no ingredients for aches and fever, no cough medicine, yet gives you longer relief per dose than any pill, any liquid. Full-time 24-hour relief of your sneezing, drips, and congestion. Contact. Its tiny time pills contain ingredients to work up to 12 hours. That's longer relief per dose from those symptoms than any pill, any liquid. So, give your cold to Contact. All day, all night. Full-time.
Give your cold.
Use only as directed.
Detroit schools on Tuesday had a better attendance rate than on Monday when a new school integration plan ordered by the federal courts went into effect. About 21,000 elementary school children in Detroit are being bused in a plan to achieve better racial balance. Presidential candidate George Wallace has been campaigning hard on the anti-busing theme and continued that tactic Monday evening in Massachusetts. David Dick has a report.
Governor Wallace made a new anti-busing statement to a crowd of about 400 in East Boston, where the busing issue is emotional and intense.
And tonight, I want to say that I want to make a request of the President of the United States. I want to ask the President to ask his Attorney General to go before the Supreme Court and ask for a moratorium on this matter of busing throughout the United States, force of busing throughout the United States.
Wallace takes his campaign to Western Massachusetts tomorrow night, and a spokesman for the governor told CBS News the coordinator who successfully got out the Mississippi vote is moving on to Oklahoma. David Dick, CBS News, East Boston.
There's been more trouble in Northern Ireland, including an attack on another tavern. Peter Martin in Belfast has details.
Police say several youths were involved in the machine gun attack on a Protestant-owned bar in the village of Dunmurry on the outskirts of the city of Belfast. Two of the customers were shot dead, several others wounded, when the gunman burst through the door of the tavern and started firing indiscriminately. Both of the dead were Protestants. Police theorize the shooting may have been retaliation. Two Catholics were killed by a bomb which exploded without warning in a neighboring town just 24 hours earlier. In Belfast, a Catholic mother and child were treated for shock when a hand grenade exploded at the front door of their home. Protestant extremists are being blamed for that attack. Peter Martin for CBS News, Belfast.
Algerian and Moroccan troops have clashed inside the former Spanish Sahara. Algeria says heavy fighting was going on, and Morocco says it appears there are many dead. The battle could mark a major escalation in the dispute between those two countries over the mineral-rich territory. Now this.
This is Don Morrow talking with Marcel Rush about Fleischmann's margarine. Why Fleischmann's?
Taste. Simple. Taste is a very important factor.
Any other reason, Marcel?
You know, we're all very aware of saturated fats, animal fats. Whereas your margarines, although it varies from margarine to margarine, has polyunsaturated fats. Not all margarines are exactly the same. There are some that are lower in polyunsaturated fats than others.
Well, Fleischmann's is made from 100% corn oil. It's high in polyunsaturates, low in saturated fat.
That's right. You do want your cake and eat it. You want excellent taste. Or it's going to be like medicine. Forget it.
Fleischmann's can be a delicious part of a total dietary program to lower serum cholesterol.
If I can do anything to control that, why, I'm going to do it.
Tried any other margarines?
I keep going back to Fleischmann. Fleischmann is a fine product. It's got good flavor, good taste.
Thank you, Marcel Rush. Next time you shop, buy Fleischmann's, the only leading margarine made from 100% corn oil.
Mrs. Marion Javits says she has decided to resign from her $67,500 a year job as a public relations consultant to Iran's National Airline. The wife of New York Senator Jacob Javits cited what she called unjustifiable criticism leveled at her husband about a possible conflict of interest. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. It's 6 minutes past 11.
I am Ben Franklin, and once again I quote from the wisdom of Poor Richard's Almanac. Poor Richard says my invention of bifocals helped me to learn French. I cut the lenses of reading glasses and distance glasses in half, horizontally, and joined them. I had only to lift or lower my head, and I could see far or near. Especially valuable to me in France, for the food, so magnificent, was so close to me, while the women, so beautiful, most often sat across the table. So thanks to my bifocals, my appetite improved, and so did my French. And now some wisdom from a modern source.
Put a new store on your shopping list, the Insurance Store. It's the new easy way to shop for insurance. Trained professionals handpick the exact coverage you need from a whole list of famous brands. For the Insurance Store near you, see an agent listed under the Continental Insurance Soldier in the Yellow Pages. But call today. One today is worth two tomorrows.